Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now going to cover Job chapter 12, verses 1 through 25. We will call this chapter, Job Replies to Zophar. The Lord has done this. And of course, what that means is God has done that to Job. Job is saying, I didn't do it to myself. I haven't sinned to cause this kind of calamity to come upon me. Now, our context is this. In the last chapter, Zophar has really let Job have it. I entitled that chapter, Zophar Speaks, You Deserve Worse. Zophar actually told Job that God was going easy on him. He could have punished him a lot worse for hiding that hidden sin of Job's, which, of course, did not exist. We start now with Job 12, verses 1 through 3. Then Job replied to his friends, You certainly are wise people, and when you die, wisdom will die. Like you, I have a mind. I am not inferior to you. But who doesn't know these things? Well, in verse 1, when Job replies to his friends, You certainly are wise people, that's the God's Word translation. The KJV, the NASB, and the NIV all have the people. You certainly are the people, which is somewhat confusing. John Gill says it could refer to the common people. You certainly are of the hoi polloi, the average run of mill of people who don't have any sense. I don't think that's correct. John Gill suggests as a further option that Job is saying, you certainly are of all the people of the world of importance, spoken sarcastically. You certainly are the people. You certainly are the big shots of the world. Or Adam Clark suggests third option that he is saying, you are the wisest men in the world, spoken sarcastically. And that's how the God's Word translation takes it. And I think that's what it is. You certainly are wise people. The wise is in brackets, which means it's not in the original text, but it's a translator's inference there. You certainly are wise people, Zophar, Bildad, and Eliphaz. And when you die, wisdom will die. Well, you could take that straight. Job could be saying, when you die, your wisdom will die with you. And it doesn't matter how smart you are, how smart you think you are in all your little discourses to me, you're going to die and your wisdom's going to die. So hoop-de-doo, I don't care what you say. Or it could be that it was spoken sarcastically by Job, and he's saying, you certainly are wise people, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. You certainly are wise people, and when you die, you're the last three wise people on earth. There's nobody else after you that's wise, because you know it all. You've got all the wisdom in the world. There's nobody else. So when you die, wisdom will die, because all the rest of the world is stupid compared to you. Job's getting a little sarcastic here, I believe. And he says in verse 3, like you, I have a mind. I'm not inferior to you. Who doesn't know these things? What things? Well, if you go back to the last chapter, chapter 11, and see Zophar speaking, he goes on and on and on talking about how great God is and how wonderful God is and how powerful God is and how nobody talks back to God. Well, Job's not arguing that. He concedes that. He says, who doesn't know these things? Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that God's God, but that doesn't explain why what's happened to me is happening to me. Job continues in verse 4, Job 12. I am a joke to my friends, Job says. The one who called on God and he answered him, the just and blameless man, is a joke. So here we got Job, a righteous man, is being mocked by his own friends merely because he was suffering. So the friends he's talking about, I'm sure, is talking about Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. He's a joke to them. The one who called on God and he answered him, that was referring to when he was not suffering this calamity before his trials began. That's when God answered him, but not anymore. So he says the just and blameless man is a joke. Now, of course, he's not saying he's blameless in the sense of sinless perfection. It just means the quote-unquote general tenor of his life pleased God, as the NIV Study Bible said. He's a blameless man, just like we say somebody's a good man today. We don't mean that he's perfect like Adam and Eve before they sinned, or perfect like Jesus, it just means that they're a good person. And Job is exactly right. God had acknowledged Job as a blameless man before the calamity struck and after the calamity struck. How about before the calamity struck? Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Job 1:8. The Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. God also acknowledged that Job was righteous after his calamity struck. Job 1:20, Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. So Job worships God even after the horrible things happened to him. Job 1:22. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Job 2:10, when Job speaks to his wife, Job said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, despite that overwhelming scriptural evidence, we will find modern-day faith message errorists who will still call Job a sinner. "He just had too much of a negative confession. If he'd have just confessed the truth, good things would have happened to him. That which he feared came upon him." I can hear them now with their vain babblings. We go now to Job 12, verses 5 through 6. "The one who is at ease holds calamity in contempt and thinks it is prepared for those whose feet are slipping." This is Job speaking again to Zophar. "The tents of robbers are safe, and those who provoke God are secure. God's power provides this." Now, these verses are not immediately easy to interpret. Let's start with verse 5. "The one who is at ease holds calamity in contempt." The one who is at ease is Zophar, because he's not suffering. He holds Job's calamity in contempt, and he says, "Oh, you stupid Job, if you hadn't sinned, it wouldn't have happened." And this man at ease, Zophar, Job says, is saying that the calamity is prepared for those whose feet are slipping. In other words, Job's feet are slipping because he's sinning, according to Zophar. So that's what you think, Zophar. And then in verse 6, Job refutes Zophar's false philosophy. He says the tents of robbers are safe. And what he's saying is bad guys have good things happen to them. Those who provoke God are secure. People who sin against God live high and mighty. Not a problem. God's power provides this. In other words, God allows these evil people to prosper. So it's not only that bad things happen to good people that Job's friends couldn't comprehend, but it's also good things happen to bad people. In other words, this world is not as morally unambiguous as we think it is. A lot of times people get away with murder, and a lot of times people like Job suffer horribly when they don't deserve to. That's the way it is. Now, you could look at verse 6 not as a way of refuting the idea that bad people always suffer bad things, the tents of robbers are safe, but it could be that Job is implying that Zophar is a robber, and Zophar is one who provokes God. Those who provoke God are secure. Zophar, yeah, you're sitting high and mighty. You are at ease. God's allowing that to happen because his power provides you the safety and security to sit there and point your finger at me and tell me what a sinner I am. I'm not sure which way we should go on that. Actually, you could go both ways at the same time. He could be saying, "Hey, you, Zophar, you are living high and mighty, but that doesn't mean you're free from sin." In other words, it could be pointed at Zophar personally, or it could be just a general statement that a lot of times robbers end up being in good shape. There's a translation issue in verse 6. The NIV has it this way. "Those who provoke God are secure, those who carry their God in their hands." The Holman Christian Study Bible doesn't have it nearly that literal, which is interesting. The NIV does. The idea is that the godless are relying on idols, those who carry their God in their hands. They don't trust in the true God. They trust in their fake God, and yet they're secure. As the NIV note has it, they are secure in what God's hand brings them. The NIV note says this. The meaning of this phrase is unclear. It may mean the marauders worship only their own power, in which case the God in their own hands would be their swords. Well, whether they're worshiping idols or their own power, or whether they're just provoking God, depending on how you translate it, the point is they're not following God, and yet they're still safe. They're still blessed. So Job is pointing out that blessings don't automatically follow obedience. Where is the justice of God, he's saying? Again, he's not questioning. He knows that God knows what he's doing. But when it works out here on earth, it's not as straightforward as one might hope. We go to Job 12, verses 7 through 9. "But now ask the beast," Job continues, "and let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens, and let them tell you, or speak to the earth, and let it teach you, and let the fish of the sea declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this?" Well, let's start out with this. The hand of the Lord has done this. That's what I entitled this chapter, "The Hand of the Lord Has Done This." And I said that it was Job's calamities that the hand of the Lord had done. That could be. But there's another option. It could be all of God's perfections, his power and his wisdom, which Zophar had expounded on in the last chapter. And Job is saying, look, I know God did that. I'm not arguing that with you. Everybody knows that. Who among all these does not know? The fish know it. The beasts know it. The birds know it. Everybody knows that God is powerful and he's just. So why are you trying to give me a big lesson on God's justice? I already know that. Here are some of the great things about God that Zophar has preached to Job about in the last chapter, chapter 11, verses 7 through 12. Can you discover the depths of God, Job? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They are high as the heavens. What can you do deeper than Sheol? What can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. The limits of God are longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he passes by or shuts up or calls an assembly, who can restrain him? For he knows false men and he sees iniquity without investigating. So if we take that option, then all the birds and the beasts and the fish know that the Lord has done this. The hand of the Lord has done this. All this stuff that I just said. Establishing his justice, his depths, his limits. Now in verse 7, Job says, the birds of the heaven, let them tell you. Tell you what? John Gill suggests that Job wants them to tell Zophar that bad things do happen to good people, and vice versa. Good things happen to bad people. And as an example of that, we can take innocent beasts getting eaten up by predators. So when Job says, let ask the beast, the birds, he's appealing to the animal kingdom to show that a lot of times nature is red with tooth and claw, and it's innocent animals that get eaten. As Adam Clark put it, quote, the vulture lives more securely than the dove, the lion more secure than the ox, the shark more secure than the dolphin. Bad things happen to good animals, and if it happens to animals, it can happen to humans too. Well, that fits right in with our theme, does it not? Job is trying to contradict the false philosophy, false theology of Zophar, saying that bad things can happen to good people, just like a bad thing can happen to a dolphin when a shark eats him. We go now to Job 12, verses 10 through 12. In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Job continues to ask Zophar. Does not the ear test words as the palate tastes its food? Wisdom is with aged men. With long life is understanding. Well, the rhetorical question in verse 10, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? It's obvious the answer is God, because mankind would not live without God. He needs his breath, mankind does, and God put the breath in him. So again, Job's saying, I know God's great. He's the great creator. And then in verse 11, Job says, does not the ear test words? In other words, I'm listening to you, Zophar, and I'm testing your words, even as my palate tastes its food. And if I were eating something bitter and nasty and nauseous, it would be analogous to my ear listening to your nonsense. And then in verse 12, Job says, wisdom is with aged men, Zophar, with long life is understanding. Now, what is Job getting at here? Well, he could be referring to Bildad's earlier appeal to the ancients in Job chapter 8, verse 8. Bildad, not Zophar now, but this is Bildad, a previous false friend who spoke in Job 8. Please inquire of past generations, Bildad says, and consider the things searched out by their fathers. In other words, we've known for a long time that when you have evil happen to you, it's because of your sin. And the ancients have said that, so listen to the ancients. And Job is just saying in verse 12, according to this option, is, hey, I agree with you. I agree with you, Zophar. Wisdom is with aged men. No problem. I don't have a problem with that. Jameson Fawcett Brown says that Job is saying, you are right in appealing to the ancients, since with them was wisdom, etc. But you select such proverbs of theirs as suit your views, so I may borrow from the same such as suit mine. Well, Job in verse 12 could be referring to Bildad's early appeal to the ancients in chapter 8, but he also could be referring to himself. Now, John Gill opposes that idea, but it could be that Job is saying, look, wisdom is with aged men. I'm an old man. I know what I'm talking about. The problem with that view is Job is not so old compared to the false friends. We read in Job 15:10, both the gray-haired and the aged are among us. This is Eliphaz speaking. Both the gray-haired and the aged are among us, older than your father. So the friends are older than Job. And so if Job is saying wisdom is with aged men, he'd really be saying wisdom is with his three false friends rather than himself. So I don't think that's the answer. Here's option number three. Perhaps Job is wishing that some hypothetical man would come arbitrate between himself and his friends. Wisdom is with aged men, and we need an old head here to arbitrate this dispute that we're having. Well, I think the answer is that Job is agreeing with Bildad's earlier appeal to the ancients, to the traditional wisdom, and saying, yeah, I agree with that, but that wisdom doesn't answer my problem. We go to Job 12, verses 13 through 16. Job continues speaking to Zophar. With him are wisdom and might. To him belong counsel and understanding. Behold, he tears down, and it cannot be rebuilt. He imprisons a man, and there can be no release. Behold, he restrains the waters, and they dry up, and he sends them out, and they inundate the earth. With him are strength and sound wisdom. The misled and the misleader belong to him. Now here, Job goes through a lot of characteristics of God, and again, he's saying, I agree with you, Zophar, God's a great God. In this discourse, Job shows that he knows just as much about God's nature as Zophar does. He's not trying to dispute Zophar on the wisdom, power, and justice of God. Rather, he is trying to show that he can't understand how God uses his wisdom and power. He knows that God is just, but he can't figure out why God is just in the case of Job. In general, yes, God is a just God, but why is he letting all this stuff happen to me? As the NIV Study Bible put it, as Job groped for some resolution of his dilemma, he could find no integrating principle. Even so, people of faith hold to the belief that God knows what he is doing as he works out the details of his plans. Boy, I'm telling you, that's hard. You look around and everything's gone to pot and you say, God, where are you? Why are you letting this nonsense happen? Well, because God's got something better planned and you just have to wait and see what it is, but it's hard to wait. That's where endurance and trust and faith comes in. And of course, the person in all of human history who was tested the most on this point was Job. So that's why he's such a shining example to us all today. All right, so verse 13, with God our wisdom. Verse 14, God tears down and can't be rebuilt. Adam Clark says of this, some see proofs of this in the, we can see proofs of the fact that God tears down in the total political destruction of Nineveh, Babylon, Persepolis, that's Persia, capital of Persia, Tyre, and other cities which have broken down never to be rebuilt, as well as the Assyrian, Babylonian, Grecian, and Roman empires, which have been dismembered and almost annihilated, never more to be regenerated. And that's the truth. There's a lot of powerful entities in history that are gone, gone, gone. God imprisons a man, Job says in verse 14, and there can be no release. Job is agreeing with Zophar. In chapter 11, verse 10, Zophar says this, if God passes by or shuts up, i.e. in a prison, or calls an assembly, who can restrain him? And Job is saying, yeah, I agree with that. So we can see this discourse as a reflection of Zophar's discourse. Job is basically agreeing with Zophar on the general run of the argument. Verse 15, behold, God restrains the waters and they dry up, the rain, the rivers, the seas, whatever, you know, they dry up as the weather cycle goes on. And then he sends them out and they inundate the earth. So either if the seas are dry or if they're flowing at full force, God is in control of all that. Some say this is a reference to Noah's flood. I wouldn't know about that. And in verse 16, with him, with God, are strength and sound wisdom. The misled and the misleader belong to him. Kind of a strange phrase there. Some say this refers to Adam and Eve, who were the misled, and Satan, who is the misleader, as Adam Clark says. I don't know if that's who was being referred to there or not by the author of Job. Here's an interesting verse that shows that God is in control of the misleader, Ezekiel 14:9. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. So God is in control of misleading prophets. Now, all of this is non-controversial, of course, as Job speaks. We go now to Job 12, verses 17 through 18. Job continues, he, that's God. God makes counselors walk barefoot and makes fools of judges. He loosens the bond of kings and binds their loins with a girdle. He makes counselors walk barefoot. The counselors are statesmen, as Benson the commentator puts it. The chief ministers of all these kings, every king has chief ministers, and they're noted for their wisdom, but God makes them walk barefoot. Holman Christian Study Bible note says it can be translated as stripped. He makes these counselors walk barefoot or stripped. They no longer have the power nor the dignity that they used to enjoy because God's more wise than they are, wiser than they are. And God makes fools of judges. Judges are known for being wise, but God's wiser than a judge. God, in verse 18, looses the bond of kings. That means that a king has been made a prisoner. He lets them loose from their captivity, possibly, or it could be the bonds of kings refers to the bonds that kings put on their subjects, and then God loosens them. He's in charge of even the most powerful people on earth. He binds these kings. He binds their loins with a girdle. The NIV has loincloth. He binds their loins with a loincloth. The NIV note says, he ties a belt around their waist. Well, what does that mean exactly? John Gill says it's a royal waistband as an emblem of government. He suggests that. So God is the one who gives power to the kings to be the king. Or it could be the girdle of a servant or a traveler. He puts a girdle on a king to make him look like a servant. John Gill says that. Another option is he binds their loins with sackcloth, bringing down the glory of kings to that of a fasting, miserable slave. Or it could be he binds their loins with the cords, with ropes that they're bound as captives. Whatever it is, it shows that God is bigger than the king. I think it means he ties them up. We go now to Job 12, verses 19 through 22. Job continues, God leads priests away barefoot and overthrows established leaders. He deprives trusted advisors of speech and takes away the elders' good judgment. He pours out contempt on nobles and disarms the strong. He reveals mysteries from the darkness and brings the deepest darkness into the light. He leads priests away barefoot, so not only does he overthrow political establishments, but also religious establishments, most of which, of course, in the ancient world were idolatrous. Leads the priest away barefoot, that means without honor, without dignity. He overthrows established leaders, that would be the kings who are established in their power. He knocks them over, God does. He deprives trusted advisors of speech. Once again, we have counselors being silenced. No more wisdom can they speak. Takes away their good judgment. He pours out contempt on nobles. Psalm 107:40 says, God pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in a pathless waste. Verse 22, God reveals mysteries from the darkness and brings the deepest darkness into the light. Daniel says that about God in Daniel 2:22. It is God, who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. So again, this is a beautiful painting to the glory of God. Job is not disputing that with Zophar. We go now to Job 12, verses 23 through 25, and we will finish this chapter. God makes the nations great, Job says, then destroys them. He enlarges the nations, then leads them away. He deprives of intelligence the chiefs of the earth's people and makes them wander in a pathless waste. They grope in darkness with no light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. He makes the nations great, then destroys them. Some people say that might be alluding to the Canaanites, which would make Job a lot later than most people put it in the second millennium B.C. Could be referring to Noah's flood. God makes the nations great, then destroys them. He enlarges the nations and leads them away. The Roman Empire, it got large, and now the Roman Empire is bye-bye, it's gone. He makes the intelligent chiefs of the earth wander in a pathless waste. That means they're confused, they're staggering around, they don't know where they're going. Jameson Fawcett and Brown says, this is figurative, not referring to any actual fact. This cannot be quoted to prove Job lived after Israel's wanderings in the desert. Yes, I can't believe somebody would even try that. So the nations grope in darkness with no light, and they stagger like a drunken man. Psalm 107:27 says they reeled and staggered like a drunken man, and they were at their wits' end. Jameson Fawcett Brown says that Psalm is actually quoting Job here. It's so close. Here's another quotation of Job in Deuteronomy 28:29. And you will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. So Moses is quoting Job there. I think that makes sense. The language is pretty close. At any rate, let's summarize chapter 12. Job is now agreeing with Zophar. Yes, God is great. God is good. No problem. But that still doesn't explain why I'm being punished for something I didn't do. So now we're prepared to go to chapter 13 in our next audio, verses 1 through 28. Job will continue, and he will repeat again, still, I will hope in God. He's not going to give up on God, despite all of this terrible advice he's getting from his false friends. So I hope you stay tuned for that encouraging and enlightening discourse of Job in our next audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.